Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Blessings and Promises. Thank you to Alan, Mike, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Ephesians 1, 1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service at the Beamsville Church of Christ. I'm glad to see we still have some people, and just pray that the rest will be watching and enjoy this service. Okay, here we go. Drive-by baby shower for Helene, February the 12th. Talk to Jan to RSVP or to contribute to the group gift. Please pray for Barbara S.'s family member who is facing serious health issues and delays in treatment due to COVID-19. People in isolation due to COVID-19? Is that a prayer request? Ah, okay. We have a prayer request for people in isolation. Phil T. is recovering from significant eye surgery. Please pray for his healing. And I have a prayer. And this one's helped me throughout many, many years of my life. And I find I go back to it on a regular basis. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And it's used in AA and pretty well all other groups like that. Sometimes I needed to say this quite a few times. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, there's more to it than just that. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Good morning. The main focus of why we get together is to remember Jesus Christ, and that's what he's done for us at the cross and resurrection, and that's what we're going to do now. One of the things I've been going on, I've been trying to stay away from, is all the distractions going on. I get distracted very easily, and I imagine you too, a lot too. But, you know, with all the conspiracies going on in the world, false teachings about this and that during the pandemic, and all the protests going on that you all know about across the world, at, you know, Olympics and, you know, what's going on in our own country and down, you know, across other countries around us. And it's like, and then the impending, hopefully not, the war going on over, that's building up over in, between Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, I'm in my recliner, and I just want to scream. And then I'm like, this, it's like, this is too much. But then I learned a secret. The secret is, well, I'll tell you how it all started. Got the daily audio Bible downloaded for me for many, you know, obvious reasons. And so every day there's a series of readings that start from Genesis to, and but there's different four readings a day. And from January 1st and by the end of the year, you will read, you've read or listened to the entire Bible. I've never done it in my Christian life. I've read lots of the Bible, but I've never read it all entirely. So I started doing that, and it's amazing. As you're following the story, you start to pick out things. And I picked out something about 2 weeks ago that I would like to share with you. The old story about the, well, the true story, but the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt, and of course they went through the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh kept hardening his, changing his mind, saying, no, okay, I'll do it, and then no, no, no. And even after the 10th plague, the death of every firstborn child and livestock and right throughout the land among the Egyptians that God brought forth, and of course, through that, there was salvation through the blood of a lamb that was spread across the door frames of the where the Egyptians, I mean the Hebrews were, so they passed over. But then, so the Egyptians said, that's it, get out, go. And so in haste they left, and they took the Egyptians, they actually looted the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so happy to get rid of them, they gave them their gold and their jewelry, and just get out of here. We don't want, you brought too much calamity. Well, as they're approaching the Red Sea, of course, Pharaoh said, what are we doing? We don't really want to, we need to go back and get them. We're, you know, we have to go get them because we're going to be ruined ourselves. We have to get them back and make them our slaves again. And so Pharaoh goes down there, and God keeps them apart. You have to read the story. And puts in like an angel between the two nations. But in the end, the Hebrews, who have been freed after 430 years and ready to go into the land of Canaan, look back and see all these Egyptian chariots and all Pharaoh's men and armies coming, and they're afraid. They're terrified. And Moses says to the people, do not be afraid. Watch. God will fight for you today. And, you know, so there's the people pleading and save us. And Moses just said, God's brought you this far. And guess what? He's going to fight for you. Watch. And God did. And he saved the people. And they were able to cross through on dry land, the Red Sea, you know, the familiar story. But I learned something from that. About my own Christian life, like many times we don't realize that, you know, God fights for us every day that we are living. Like, and ultimately, that's what the communion's all about. God fought for us against Satan and loved us so much that he gave his only son, that Jesus went to the cross and God fought for us, and through the power of the death and the glory of the resurrection, we win. That's what the communion's all about. So don't get distracted with all these distractions going on in the world. Yes, they're very concerning and very troubling, and there's some things we should be concerned about, but don't let you get off your spiritual journey and your personal relationship with Christ, because that's where it's at. Get back to the basics. I've been doing the same. Prayer, dedication, focus on God, and like, this is the world, you know, and God's going to take care of it in the end. God's still fighting for us, and he's promised us a new heaven and new earth, and all we have to do is be faithful. Do not get distracted. Keep your eyes on the prize. Or fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And who for the, and you know, the Jesus who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He didn't do it just for him. It wasn't just by because he needed to do it. He did it for us. He needed to do it for us. So that's what I want to share in our communion talk. And through all this pandemic stuff, and I get, I know patience wears thin, and you get steered this way and that way. You hear that, you hear this. Don't lose your sight. Don't lose your focus. And be faithful. Do not be distracted. And remember Jesus and what he did for us at the cross, because that's ultimately what it's all about. So let's go to God in prayer this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love for us and that you fought for us ultimately by sending your Son into the world to teach us how to live, teach us how to love, and redeemed us for eternal salvation so that we might be with you forever. Thank you for everything that the communion represents to each one of us, and thank you for the community of faith that we all share in together. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Good morning to all, and thank you, Mike, for those really good words at communion today. It was very, very meaningful and very helpful. I'd like to continue with our theme today, talking about the unsearchable riches of God. We can't count the number of blessings he gives to us, therefore unsearchable. A preacher by the name of A.T. Pearson, who lived from 1837 to 1911. Besides being a preacher, he was an educator, a missionary statesman, once tried to preach on God's blessing, as describing in Ephesians, a section of scripture that continually talks about our unsearchable wealth and riches in Christ. And then he stood up in front of a very large audience and he said these words. In the words of the text, the unsearchable riches of Christ, unsearchable, literally means riches that cannot be explored. You not only cannot count or measure them, but you can form no estimate of them, but you can never get to the end of all those blessings. There is a boundless continent, a world, a universe of spiritual riches that still lies before us. And when you've carried your search to the limits of possibility, I feel as though I had a theme about which no person ought to even speak. An archangel's tongue could do no justice to all the blessings God gives us. Pearson nevertheless tried to point out the truths about the believer's spiritual wealth as described in Ephesians and other New Testament books. We'll look at that in just a moment. And then finally he says this, I sink back, exhausted in the vain attempt to set before this congregation the greatest mystery of grace that I have ever grappled with. I cannot remember, in 30 years of gospel preaching, he said, ever to have been confronted with a theme that more baffled every outreach of thought and every possibility of utterance than the theme that I have now attempted in the name of God to this very present day. In other words, God's spiritual blessings are beyond comprehension. I guess it wouldn't matter how many lifetimes we lived, we would never get to the bottom of all of God's blessings. You may have heard this expression before. Do all you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That was written by John Wesley so many years ago, a great, great theologian. And then a gentleman who I've never heard of before, Edward Hale, said these words, "I am only one, but still, I'm one. I can't do everything, but still, I can do something. And because I can't do everything, I will not refuse to do the something I can do." God gives us blessings. He gives us qualities of life. He gives us themes in which we could live, maybe all different, but it's the encouragement that we have blessings uncountable in life. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that, about being a blessing and doing all the best that we can. Quite a few years ago now, there was a gentleman who eventually made his way to Sunridge, Ontario. His name was Bert Johnson. And he lived out in Winnipeg, and he decided that he was going to get on his bicycle. He was in his 30s. He was going to get on his bicycle, and he was going to ride his bicycle from Winnipeg to Sunridge. That's a long way. And when he got there, he was going to buy a piece of property, which he did, and he was going to build a little shack where he could live, which he did. Afterward, he was going to build a large viceroy home, which he did. But before he left Winnipeg, he forgot to tell his wife and daughter what he was doing. He's rather an awkward kind of person. And for a year, they had no idea where he had gone. And finally, he contacted them and said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you." And there he was building this big, beautiful home. And eventually, his daughter and his wife made their way to Sunridge, and they moved into this beautiful home that he built for them. And when they arrived, they were so angry with him that they said, "That little shack, that's your home. The house that you built for us, that's our home." And he, as the time went on, it just kind of got better and it got better, and they lived happily ever after. Bert was a very awkward person. It was a joy to sit down and talk with him because you never knew what he was going to say or what he was thinking. His mind never shut off. A very awkward person. But the Sunridge Church of Christ, when the doors were open, Bert opened them. And whenever anyone came into the church building, Bert was there to greet them. His special gift, as awkward a man as he was to give authentic, genuine, loving welcome. And that's a precious gift. We all have gifts given to us. And whatever gift we have received, we are to use it to honor God and to share with one another. So I want to just go through some scriptures this morning and just read some of these scriptures to talk about the blessings that we have, both Jew and Gentile, because of Christ Jesus. And I guess it's difficult for us today, living here in North America, to really grasp the cultural enmity that there was between Jew and Gentile Christians, because the culture was so different. Food was a significant priority, but not just the type of food, although that was part of it, what food you could eat, what food was considered unclean and not unclean. And based on the Old Testament, you may remember all the laws and regulations that they had to follow. But when Gentiles became Christians, they weren't really interested in any of those laws. They just wanted to be in Christ. And so there was this conflict, and it was the coming together as one. And thousands of years later, here we are, Jew and Gentile alike, people around the world, different culture, different themes to their life. And here we are, one in Christ, but it's not always easy. So I want to spend some time looking at Scripture, people coming together as one, blessings in Christ, joined together, even if our personalities are quite different. So I'm going to do a fair amount of reading today. I want to start in the book of Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22. So based on everything that I've said, I think I've set this up well enough to now look at these scriptures and see where we're at. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcised, by those who call themselves the circumcision. Basically, unique words to say Jew and Gentile. Jewish law was for circumcision, but for Gentiles, not so much, which is done in the body by human hands. And then he says this, remember at that time you were separate from Christ. Can you remember a time in your life when you were separate from Christ? And then he says, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were once far away, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, Jews. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, the church, if you will, is joined together and rises to become the holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You too are being built together. Have you ever stopped to think that your Christianity hasn't stalled? And maybe even if you feel like you've been shrinking back a little bit, God says, no, it's not. I have my Spirit working on you 24/7. In him, you too are being built to become a dwelling in which God lives through his Spirit. So Paul is unique in saying to both Jew and Gentile, we're growing in Christ. And if anyone can have an example of what that looked like, it would certainly be the Apostle Paul. From Saul, someone who persecuted Christians, to now becoming a Christian, and not just becoming a Christian, but reaching out to others. And he didn't hide anything. He talked about his former way of life, which was the very opposite of what he was now. Anti-Christian to now being a wonderful Christian and growth. But it's not just there, he says, it's the continuation of that growth. It's a mystery, if you will, that is solved in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And notice the word mystery that the Apostle Paul uses. A very intellectual man, and somehow it was just beyond him to really grasp what we have in Christ. And all week long, that's the way I felt. I want to grasp it all, and I just can't, because it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. It is a mystery that can't completely be solved. In Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to people of other generation, as it has been now revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Which reminds me back of Bert, standing at the front door, awkward, often having his buttons in the wrong place at the door, and he welcomed us. And he became one of the most beloved figures in our congregation. Someone who in society might have been considered awkward, maybe a little eclectic, but someone whom we loved. The mystery of the love of Christ was seen in Bert, and hopefully it will be seen in us. And he uses this word again. I go to verse 6. This mystery that through the gospel, the Gentiles and heirs, together with Israel, members together, one body, shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And then it talks about this mystery. And then verse 10, it says, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, the complete wisdom of God, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, which is beyond me, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom, and I like this, and confidence. Have you ever thought what it will be like the first time you see God face to face? I can't imagine. I don't think there'll be much standing. I think it'll be a bow. It'll be a praise. This glory of God who gives us everything. It's this amazing glory that we have. And you know the story of Moses when he wants to go up and see God. And God says, Moses, you can't. It's not that I don't want to, but you can't. My glory is too much. You've got to hide a little bit behind this rock. When my glory passes by, you can see that, but you can't see me face to face. But one day, we're going to see God face to face. That is one of the unsearchable riches of God. We can't fully grasp what will be. But that's a reality for you and I. So this mystery of Christ is powerful, understanding who he is and what he's done for us. And because of that, we're all one in Christ Jesus. You may know this passage quite well in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We've talked about this, but let's just read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. And then you know this. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. This magnificent, powerful riches that God gives to us. And there is something unique. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18, I wanted to somehow put a cute little phrase together, but I couldn't do it. Really talking about what this theme is in 2 Corinthians 1, 18. And it basically is this. It is the yes of God. On a given day, do you hear more yeses or noes? The yeses of God. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in 18. But surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes, even when we've sinned. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And I think God whispers to us, over and over and over and over again, day after day after day, no matter what time of day, what time of night, he whispers to us, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you. You are my child. I am with you. And I think sometimes God says, please talk to me. Please talk to me. I know what you're going through. Talk to me. Because when we talk to him, his presence often comes so near and so close. He's with us every second of the day. And I want to look at just one more passage. And it's found in Romans chapter 8. It's a very familiar passage. But to me, it's a wonderful passage where it talks about suffering as part of life, but the glory that you and I will receive is an absolute certainty. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18. And again, the word glory is used here. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Many of us have gone through those times. Suffering times. Difficult times. But it can't be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation itself waits in eager expectation for us, for the children of God, to be revealed. For the creation itself was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God, which Mike talked about at communion today, that one day there will be a new heaven and earth that we will all be part of. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies, what we will be like. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for that what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know how we ought to pray or what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people, intercedes for us in accordance with his will. And then verse 28, a scripture that is always, always so wonderful. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. So Bert Johnson was an awkward fellow. He was a unique fellow. He was someone that welcomed everyone into the church. And for the many years that I was the minister at that church, one day, Bert died. And at his funeral, there were so many cars lined up into the church parking lot, out onto the highway, and down the road, because Bert had given them the gift of the unsearchable riches of kindness. Awkward? Absolutely. Loved? Beyond comprehension. If you ever feel that somehow you don't measure up, you don't. God does. And he gives his riches to you. And so even though it's been quite a few years since Bert has passed, if we ever get feeling lonely, if I'm ever feeling somehow sad, if I'm ever feeling like I can't grasp all these, all I do is just think of him, this wonderful man, a man who lived for others. And as God has given us Jesus, may we live for each other too. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and travel mercies. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked ESV are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.